Well, good morning. My name's Stephen. If we haven't met yet, I'm the campus pastor of our North Klein campus, and really excited to be with you guys here this morning. Pastor Jeff mentioned it already, and it is so exciting to see what God is doing across all three campuses of Champion Forest right now. God's good, and we just want to keep turning to Him and trusting Him to do what only He can do. Many of you know my better half, my wife Chelsea. I've been married to her for 16 years, and we've got three boys. You might be able to see them on the screen behind me. Chose that picture because that is our life right now, from one field to another, one practice to another, one game to another, and it feels like it never stops. And if you've got kids, you feel this, you understand this. I have become, as a dad of three, what I would like to call a master negotiator, right? I feel like there are moments when I am always having to talk my kids into doing what they already know they should be doing, right? Mealtime is the height of this, right? Do you ever have to talk your kids into eating all their food or eating their vegetables? That's where I live right now. And a few weeks ago, a nice summer night, right? Kids love summer nights. My kids sat down. We sort of told them what they would have to eat. And one of them at the table, Ms. Bolson probably knows which one, decided that he was not going to eat his vegetables, and he announced it to the group, right? Well, the minute he did that, I announced that he was going to do it, and there became a battle of the wills, and I was going to win. The older two, I just gave it away, the older two, they finished their food, and you know what they did? Man, they lived the dream of any boy in the summer. They went outside, they gathered up the kids up and down the block, and they started a baseball game in the cul-de-sac. They're playing ball, they're having fun, they're running in for popsicles and ice cream, and all of that stuff that the kids just love to do. But one of them sat stubbornly in his chair, and he wouldn't eat it. He would not make the choice that was gonna make him happy. And if you're wondering if I'm just like a mean dad making him eat a lot, it was two green beans, that's it. That's all we're talking about, right? Two green beans was it. Right, he had a choice to make. Eat it and be happy. Eat it and have joy. Eat it and be with my friends. Eat it and be with my brothers. Eat it and get dessert. But he didn't do it. Right, over and over again, he stubbornly sat there and he made a choice that prevented him from an evening full of joy. And if you've got a Bible this morning, I want you to open up to Psalm chapter 1. And in Psalm chapter 1, you're going to see that you and I have a similar choice. Right, we have a choice that we can make each and every day in our lives that will lead to joy and contentment and to pleasure and to happiness in our relationship with God, or we can make a choice that won't. And my prayer this morning as we look at Psalm 1 for me and for you and for our families is that we would make the right choice, right? The God-honoring choice that leads to blessing and happiness that's found only in Him. Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. And all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. If we were to sum up Psalm chapter 1, the beginning of the whole book, here it is. A blessed life, or a happy life, comes through delighting in the words of God. Look at your Bibles, if they're open there, the very first word of the chapter. In fact, the very first word of the entire book of Psalms, it's blessed, right? That means happy, it means joyful, it means content, and that's something that we all want, right? We see it in quotes throughout history. We see it in quotes in our culture today. Think about the Declaration of Independence. It's still July. We're close enough to the 4th. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of... Okay? We see it in today's culture too, right? Taylor Swift just came through Houston. Who went? It's a safe place. You can tell us, right? I know some of you did. I saw the t-shirts you made, right? For it. Listen to what she said. Taylor Swift said, "My ultimate goal is to end up being happy." It's a desire in the hearts of people, right? But make no mistake, happiness is a gift from God. You don't just end up that way. Happiness is something that God does desire for us to experience, and I'm not talking about momentary happiness because of certain current circumstances in our lives. When we say blessed this morning, when we say happiness this morning, we're talking about this deep, heartfelt joy and satisfaction and contentment in all circumstances because of our relationship with Christ. It's like Paul talks about in the New Testament, and here God tells us that that happiness, that joy, that blessing in our souls, it's available in Him. In fact, every time as we walk through the Word of God, we see that people that are described as happy or blessed, it's people that have a relationship with God. Please don't miss that today, right? Happiness isn't something that we go out and search for on our own. It's not something that we discover out on a journey. In fact, there are a bunch of people that have made a mess out of their lives searching for happiness in places that they will never find it. True happiness, that joy, that contentment in our heart and in our soul, it's a gift from God. And we see here that it's found only in a relationship with Him. In his book called Happiness, Randy Alcorn wrote this: "I've studied more than 2,700 passages of Scripture where the words such as joy, happiness, gladness, merriment, pleasure, celebration, cheer, laughter, delight, jubilation, feasting, exultation, and celebration are used. And if you throw in blessed and blessing, which connote happiness, that number increases. God is clear that seeking happiness in Him is good and it's right." And that's the key. Happiness is found in a relationship with God. And He shows us here in Psalm chapter 1 that it comes down to decisions, that it comes down to the day in, day out choice that you and I make. If you're taking notes this morning, our first point is this: for a blessed life, for a happy life, we must say no to the influence of the world. Look back at verse 1 in your Bibles. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." There's a reason this verse is written this way. Think about it for a minute. Why doesn't it simply say, don't be wicked, don't sin, and don't scoff? Well, it's because the contrast here in verses 1 and verse 2, it's not wickedness versus righteousness. The contrast here is influence. Are we going to allow our hearts and minds to be influenced and shaped by the things of this world or by the Word of God? Listen, verse 1 tells us, as followers of Jesus, we must know when to say no. We've got to understand that the biblical wisdom has just as much to do with what we say no to and what we avoid as what we say yes to. Look at verse 1. As followers of Jesus, seeking to live out His word, seeking to live a blessed and happy life in Him, we have to say no to sin. And look, verse 1, there's a progression of sin that it would be wise for us to take note of here in the Word of God. We've got walking and then standing and then sitting. Look at this. It's a downward spiral away from God, away from the words of God, and into the patterns of the world. Think about walking first, right? Walking with the wicked. Walking connotes movement, right? With walking, there's this simple association, this notion of passing through with the wicked here. But standing is next, right? And in this verse, we know that standing is different than walking, right? Now we've stopped, right? Standing means stopping in the midst of those that oppose God. Hanging out with people whose chosen and professed pattern of life does not honor God. People who have decided that their way of life is more important than the way of life that God has given to us. And then from standing, look at that next step. From standing, it's sitting. And sitting here shows a person that, and they're planting their flag. They're going all in with the world, so much so that they've begun to look back now and actively mock the things of God, actively mock the word of God. You see how sin works here in verse 1? It's through influence. It's through baby steps. No one jumps up and says, hey, listen, I'm going to go straight to the seat of the scoffer. It's a slow fade. It's a slippery slope here in the word, and it happens through influence in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. We tell our kids this all the time, especially now. My oldest is going into middle school. I can't believe it. And we've been telling him this, and this is true for us too, right? As adults, no matter what age we are, we say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And we say that because we see influence builds us. It matters who we walk with, because eventually we're gonna stand with them. And if we stand with them long enough, well, we're gonna take a seat. Wherever you take a seat, I wanna encourage you this morning to make sure it's the right one. Slow down and think. You've probably never raised your hand when you've left your home in the morning and said the words, man, I would love to be shaped by all of the worldly influences around me today. But too often, if we're not careful, if we don't do what verse 1 says and say no to the influences of the world, that's exactly where we end up. Think for a minute. What influences you? What in our culture shapes you and informs your mind and forms your heart? There's so many things. An easy example is just the media we consume. What books do you read? Who do you follow on social media? What music do you allow to seep down into your mind and into your heart? We had a conversation with a couple over last night, and it was around, man, we had no idea this is what those words actually meant when we were kids, right? That stuff gets into your mind. Think about the shows that you watch. Think about the movies that you watch. That shapes you. It forms you. It gets into you, and eventually it comes out of you. You know how I know that? I've got kids running around my house repeating the quotes from a movie we watched about 2 weeks ago. Right, we watched the greatest baseball movie of all time. Y'all all know it's The Sandlot, right? We watched The Sandlot. One of my kids absolutely loved the catcher in that movie. If you know my family, you know what kid I'm talking about. The catcher is the big kid in the movie. His nickname was Ham. He's the one that had the playful trash talk to the batters. He's the one that said, you play ball like a girl. And he's the one that famously said, you are killing me, Smalls. It seems like every chance my kids get, they look at me or Chelsea and they say, you're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls, over and over and over again. Why? It got in. It got in. Innocent, funny, but it got in. And it shaped and formed their mind, their attitude, and ultimately their words. What comes in shapes us. What influences us forms us. That's why these verses are here. And it's not just about our kids. It's about you and me too. What table are you sitting at? What table are you sitting at when you allow people to influence you? So yeah, we might never raise our hand and say, save me a spot at the table for those that mock God. But if we're not careful, if we don't say no to the influences of this world, we will end up there. Just wanna encourage you to pause this morning in the midst of what's going on and just think for a minute. Take an honest assessment of what influences you. What's building your mind and heart? What is shaping and transforming your mind and heart right now? What's shaping and transforming the minds and the hearts of those that are in your household? What's shaping and transforming the minds and hearts of those that you are responsible for? Walk, stand, sit. There's a progression we see here in verse 1 of worldly influence that will draw us away from God. Verse 1 says that blessings come, that happiness comes, that soul-filled contentment comes when we say no to that. Some of you are thinking, I'll answer the question for you. Some of you are thinking, isn't that a little strict? Isn't that a little legalistic? And I would just say this, saying no to sitting down with those who oppose God, it's not legalism, it's common sense and it's godly wisdom. James chapter 4 verse 4 says this, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? That's active opposition towards God. Verse 1 says this, for a blessed and a happy life, stop writing off things that are clearly ungodly as no big deal. Begin saying no to the things of the world. I won't walk, stand, or sit with them. And listen, our only hope in doing that, our only hope in saying no to the pleasures of this world is by taking pleasure in the Word of God. Right? We can't just get good at saying no. We have to say yes to God. That's our second point. For a blessed life, for a happy life, you and I are called to delight in the words of God, right? No to the world and yes to God. Look at verse 2. But his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on the law of the Lord, he meditates day and night. As we seek the right influence, here it is. As we seek what needs to fill our mind and our heart, it's right here. It's the law of the Lord. This verse tells us that the blessed person, the happy person, the content, soul-filled person delights in the Word of God. What do you delight in? Think about that for a minute. Weird question to answer. What do you delight in? Where does your mind go when it drifts off for a little bit? What do you think of fondly and remember with a smile on your face? When you daydream, what is it that fills your head? Because that's a pretty good picture of what it is you delight in. This past week, I got to go as a cabin leader and a room leader to our kids' camp. I had a room full of fifth grade boys, and it was an absolute blast to see these kids come alive, to see them engage with the Word of God, to see them have a great fellowship with one another. We had several kids from a baseball team that don't have a church home come and join with us and make decisions to follow Christ, and now they want to get baptized and pursue that relationship with Him. It was unbelievable, right, to see the light bulbs going off in their brain, in their heart, as they engage with the Word of God. And this is just a commercial for Stephanie and our kids' ministry. She didn't ask me to do this, but listen, I'm telling you that there is joy like none other when you see the Word of God coming alive in kids and students in that next generation. If you've ever thought, man, I want to serve in kids and student ministry, this is your sign. Go visit our kids team today and sign up and become a part of it, right? And I got to do that at camp. I was thrilled by it. It was a lot of fun. But if you saw that video earlier when Pastor Jeff was up here of our kids camp, the smelliest kids on the video, right, those were the kids in my cabin, right? There were times I would walk up the stairs to my cabin. We were on the second floor, and the smell would hit me 2 or 3 feet before I walked in the door. And as I walked in and I looked around and I surveyed the mess everywhere, and as I surveyed my plastic mattress that was about this thick, I found my mind drifting off to my room back at home. Right, I found my mind drifting off to the smell of the room at home, to the comfort of the room at home, and I found myself there thinking, man, I delight in that, right? I want that. I want to be there right now, right? That's the delight that God's Word speaks about this morning, right? We're supposed to view God's Word that same way. We're supposed to take pleasure in this. Our mind should drift back to the Word of God long after we put it down. We should remember it, think on it fondly and with joy, right? The Word of God in our lives should be a joy to us, not a burden for us. This is the pathway, the choice that brings blessing and happiness to our lives. That's what we see in verses 1 and 2. That's the mark of a happy and blessed person. Find delight in the Word of God and be blessed. So my question for you is simply this. Does the Word of God make you happy? Do you find joy and pleasure in the words of God? Do you think back on and dwell on the miracle of the Bible and the way that God has preserved it for us? Do you think on this with joy in your heart long after you put it down? That's what we're called to here in God's Word. If that's not you this morning, if you were just candid and honest and you would say, you know what, that's not me, let me just say that it might not be you yet. Okay, I want to encourage you very gently and suggest this, that if you don't find delight in the Word of God, joy in the Word of God, it's more than likely because you delight in other things more. You delight in other things in your life more than the Word of God. Maybe it's as simple as sleep. You delight in your sleep, your rest, and so you won't get up and read the Word of God. Maybe you delight in scrolling on a screen on your phone more than the Word of God. Maybe you delight in tuning out at the end of the day and watching something on a screen more than the Word of God. And listen, let me just say that if that's you, if you feel this disconnect, this distance between you and our Heavenly Father right now, I want to encourage you to read through the Psalms this summer, right? We're in it every Sunday morning, a different psalm, but if you read through the Psalms, you'll see that there are godly men used by God in incredible ways who at times felt that same way. They felt distant in their relationship with God. They felt like when they cried out that God wasn't there and they weren't sure what to do. And as you come across those Psalms, you'll see that the solution, the answer in almost every circumstance for those people as they drew back closer to God, what was prayer and intentionality. So this morning, if you'd say, man, candidly, man, I don't find any delight in the Word of God. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't ever have this desire in my heart to read it. And if I do read it, I don't think about it anymore. If that's you, I want to encourage you to pray. Your action step today is simply to pray, God, help me find delight in your word. God, ignite in me a passion for your word once again. And as you pray that prayer to God, do what you know to be is right. Do what this psalm is telling us to do and begin to read the word of God, trusting that your heart is gonna grow and that you're gonna develop that delight and that appetite for his word. Let me just say this. You will never delight in the word of God if you are not reading the word of God. Look back at verse 2. There's the progression of worldly influence in verse 1. We see this progression of godly influence in verse 2. From delighting to what? To meditating on the word of God. And that word meditate here in your Bible, it basically means to speak or to mutter to oneself, right? Meditating, it's talking to yourself, speaking the word of God to yourself. Have you ever walked in a room and found somebody that appeared to be talking to themselves? What did you think when you saw them? Right, every now and then that happens to me. I'll walk in and I'll see Chelsea and she's talking to herself and I'll think, okay, me and the boys have finally broke her. We pushed her over the line and there's no coming back from this. And then I'll realize that she's on her headphones and she's talking to a friend or something. But here's the deal, right? If she had been talking to herself, that's okay. Because that's what this meditation is, speaking God's word to ourselves. Again, it's influence. Choose the right influence. What goes in is going to come out. And as we delight in the word of God, as we take the word of God into our lives, it's going to flow out from our heart into every situation we face. Practically, what does that look like? What does it mean to speak the word of God to yourselves? Let me illustrate it by just sort of showing you what happens in my life. Listen, when I'm anxious and when I'm struggling, when I'm wrapped up in something and I just can't find peace in my mind, or in my heart, I speak the word of God to myself. Or I speak Philippians chapter 4. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, the next verse says, then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I have to speak the word of God to myself. If you've been around here for a while, you might know Jerry Bogle. Anybody remember Jerry? When I was a kid, I struggled with fear, right? It was sinking in my mind and heart. I just could not get off it. I sat down in his office as an elementary school kid one time, and he wrote out Psalm 56:3 on an index card. And it lived on my mirror while I was growing up, all the way through high school. And when there were those moments of fear that came into my life, I meditated on the word of God. I spoke that into my life. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, God. When I'm tempted, remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. I meditate on those. I speak those back to myself, where Jesus looked at the enemy and said, man won't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. When I look around and I just am overwhelmed by what God's done in our family or church family or just different situations, and God reminds me, listen, it doesn't have anything to do with you. That's all me. And I think of James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. When I get frustrated or angry, I know I'm not the only one. When things aren't working out right and there's that anger that begins to well up in my heart, I again go back to James chapter 1, right? Let every person, slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. When I'm driving around Houston, and I encounter the crazy drivers, I meditate on Psalm 64, verse 7, that says, but God will shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they'll be wounded. Don't do that last one. That was, I'm thinking back on the angry thing again. Listen, Psalm 1, what's it say? Delight in this. Delight in this. Find joy in this. Let this be what builds you, shapes you, transforms you. Let this be what comes into you, and then meditate on it. Speak on it. Talk about this to yourself, right? To whatever situation you are facing, your kids are facing, your family is facing, your job is facing, your finances, whatever it is, whatever you are facing, speak on the word of God to yourself. Verses 1 and 2 say, blessing and happiness come when we have that relationship with God, when we delight in the word of God, and then speak the word of God over ourselves. And you won't delight in this unless you begin to read it. So choose the right influence, the Word of God. For a blessed life, a happy life, a joy-filled, content life, we have the plan. In a relationship with God, we don't allow our hearts to be influenced by the world. We say yes to allowing our hearts to be influenced by the Word. And know this. Listen, know that whichever choice you make, whichever influence you allow into your life, that influence, it will transform you. Right? It will transform you. We are always being transformed, one direction or another. And verses 3 and 4, if your Bible's still open, give us a picture of what that looks like. We have an illustration in the Word of God that should foster a desire deep down in our hearts to delight in the Word of God. And not just foster a desire, we've got a picture in the Word of God that should solidify our decision to know that this is right, right? We actually need to do this. And we get a visual here. Look at verse 3 and 4. The one that says no to the world and instead delights in the Word of God, that person, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. A tree planted by streams of water. That water, it matters. The water is life to the tree. In the same way that the words of God, they're life to you and to me. Have you noticed that this summer it's been really, really hot around here? I mean, all the time it's hot. At camp last week, I don't think there was a moment that I was not sweating until I got back on the bus to come home. Hotter in West Texas. I saw somewhere it was 121 degrees on Friday. I saw a picture that went viral of a lady in Houston who baked bread in her mailbox. Right, that picture floated around our neighborhood sort of web page, and a lot of people tried it. Like, they tried to mimic that in our neighborhood, and nobody could get it to work. And then the lady confessed, maybe she didn't bake it all the way. She finished it in the oven. But even to get it started in the mailbox, listen, it's hot. It's hot. So when I think about verse 3 and the streams, the tree planted by streams of water in the heat of Texas, I think about the Frio River, the Guadalupe River. You ever floated down it? Remember those trees on the side of it? They're big and they're strong. Why? The roots are in the water, always connected to the water, soaking it up no matter how hot it gets outside. And these trees stay strong and healthy because the water is constantly giving it life. Now, this is different than the plants in my yard. Drives Chelsea crazy, but every now and then, to try to save a little money, I'll sneak into the garage, I'll turn off the sprinkler system for a couple of days, and I'll turn it back on when I notice the plants and the flowers in our front flower bed beginning to wither or droop just a little bit, and then I'll run in and give it more water. Listen, two very different approaches for these plants, right? Those on the river, and they have constant water. Those in my yard, they have inconsistent and infrequent water. One keeps plants strong and healthy and vibrant and growing, and one doesn't. Here's the reality. My spiritual life, your spiritual life, the spiritual life of our families and our kids, it's going to mirror one of those two approaches. Either we'll stay connected to the water, to the life that we get from delighting in and meditating on the Word of God, from speaking the Word of God over and over to ourselves, or we won't. And let me just tell you that the Morris sprinkler system approach is not the pathway to a blessed and happy spiritual life. What does that mean? It means you can't drop in here on a Sunday morning and engage the Word of God for 30 minutes and think that's enough water for the week. Picture we hear in God's Word, it's constant refreshment from the Word of God. It is constant nourishment from the Word of God. You cannot do life apart from God, apart from His words, apart from finding delight and meditating and this, and then run to Him when you feel like life is causing you to wither a little bit, and all of a sudden be transformed into that strong and vibrant tree. It took a long time, a lot of refreshment, for that tree to grow to the height that you see it at. These verses here tell us we have to have constant refreshment of the Word in our lives. Look at verse 3. when we do that, when that refreshment is there, when we speak the word of God over our lives, three things become true about us. The first is this: when we delight in the word of God, we become fruitful. Think fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You've been around these kind of people, right? You've been around these fruitful people, right? They're refreshing people. Why? Well, because the same water that's refreshing them, it gets poured out on you when you're with them. You leave these fruitful people feeling fed and feeling strengthened. You leave them with a taste in your heart for spiritual things. Their words are encouraging. They speak life to you. They're healing. They're convicting. They're enlightening. You know why? Because they delight in the word of the Lord. They meditate on it. They speak it into their life. And as they speak it into their life, they're speaking it into the lives of others as well. Their life is bearing fruit. Not only that, verse 3 says this: those that are planted by the water, that are refreshed and nourished, they won't wither, okay? That they won't fold up when the heat comes. And that's what that means is this: delight in the word and you will be durable. Durable. Think about that tree. Hot outside, that's okay. Tree has water around it constantly. Drought coming, no more rain, that's okay. The tree is fed from underneath, from that river of life, that water that's coming up underneath it. Winds coming, big storms knocking against the tree, that's okay. The roots run deep because those roots stay fed. The same is true for those who will find their delight in the words of God. In good times and in bad times, we will be okay. We'll make it. That's real life. We're gonna go through hard seasons. We're gonna face challenging moments. We're gonna face pain and frustration and confusion and heartache and loss. We're gonna face seasons of isolation, maybe even hopelessness. Listen, we've walked through a lot of that with a lot of families already this summer. And as we've talked to these families, right, in the midst of incredibly heartbreaking times, we've been able to see, you know what, they're gonna make it, right? But because the word of God is strengthening their hearts, it's strengthening their souls, they're speaking the word of God over their lives, they're claiming the promises of God in their situations, and we can see very clearly that because of the word of God in their lives, they will not wither. They're durable. They're gonna face the challenge, right? It hurts for a while, but they are going to make it because the promises of God are building them up and strengthening their hearts. And then finally, we see the word of God. It makes us fruitful, durable, and ultimately prosperous. Delight in the word of God and be prosperous. It says it right there in verse 3. What does that mean? Does prosperous mean that my business will do well and that my family will be healthy? Is that prospering? Sometimes. Sometimes, yeah. Isaiah 64, 2 Chronicles 16, we read. There's times where God does, in fact, choose to bless this way. But as we read the whole Bible, we know that not every blessing from God looks like that. As we read the Bible, we know that God is at work in our hearts, that God is at work for our hearts, that God is constantly drawing us into that relationship with Him. And we understand that we will prosper, that we will grow in our love relationship with Him in the good times and in the hard times. Romans 8:28 reminds us of that. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Delight here. Delight in the word of God, and the picture is a fruitful, durable, prosperous, strong, well-watered tree. But these verses paint another picture as well. For those that aren't influenced by the word of God, but are instead influenced by the ways of this world. Look at verse 4. It says, the wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away. And chaff is the opposite of the tree that's by the water, right? Meaning that those that are influenced by the world, those that end up like this chaff, that they're fruitless and they're rootless, and ultimately they find themselves useless. That's what chaff was. Right, as a farmer back then would work to separate the wheat from the chaff, and that the chaff is the husk and the broken straw and the dried out pieces of plant. What they would do is they'd bring it all into a big pile, they'd stick their winnowing fork in it, and they'd flip it up in the air, and the wheat, right, the good stuff, the stuff with substance, it would fall to the ground right there in front of them. The chaff, right, it would ultimately get blown away. It would be separated from the good, separated from the useful, separated from what was needed by the farmer. Chaff, in Psalm chapter 1, is the perfect visual of something that's passing and something that's useless. Look at the two pictures on the screen. And that the visual that God's word gives us this morning, the choice that his word gives us, man, is clear and it's easy. And I want to encourage you today to make the choice that builds you up, not the choice that dries you up and scatters you in the wind. And as the chapter finishes, that's what we see. We see that the wicked won't be able to stand when judgment comes. We see there's no place for them in the family of God. They had a choice, and they chose the temporary pleasures of this world over the word of God. But those who delight in the word of God, those who find a life in the word of God, they will bear fruit, they will last, and they will prosper like a tree planted by the streams of water. And as we see that in God's word, it seems like such an easy choice to make. My prayer this morning is that your family and that my family, that we would make sure that the living water is constantly feeding our hearts and our minds, not just Sunday mornings, but constantly, knowing that a blessed life comes through delighting in the word of God. Would you pray with me?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.